Good evening, everyone. And one of these days, I'm going to get an impromptu on Shafe and get him to teach for us. I think you could do it. Yeah. Okay, where do we want to start? Tonight, what I wanted to do, I was hoping Andre would be here tonight, but he isn't. I'm going to do a simple go over the gospel. And hopefully I can make sense out of it for you.
Are you recording?
Yes, it's on. Supposed to be. Steve Atwood said.
Battery info and stuff.
Yeah, I think. Easy Handicam, is that what it's saying now?
Yeah.
Steve told me I'm on, so I don't know. Anyway, turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm sure Steve will text me if I'm not. Romans chapter 1. It ain't nothing like having Big Daddy sitting in a motel room keeping me straight, what do you think?
That's right.
Shoot. Romans 1, verse 1. The Gospel of God. Paul is servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the Gospel of God. Little quiz question. What's the Gospel of God? Come on, students.
Yeah.
Quiz question. Gospel of God. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Is it on? Yeah.
You know what it is.
It's running like a demo mode on this camera. It's going to put all kinds of.
Okay. It's plugged in like it was the other weekend. Why didn't change nothing? Okay. Thank you much. Boy, he even calls in. Check that out. Okay, Gospel of God. Anybody?
What are you looking at, dude?
Jesus Christ died for our sins.
Yes. No. I had this all together. Today. No, it is that God, that Christ was the Son of God. Right?
Son of the living God.
Okay. Turn to Matthew 16. See, I'm not as sharp as most people, so you can't just throw stuff at me. Verse 16, Matthew 16:16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 3, verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay, next. What is the gospel of Christ? Nope, just talk. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You better know what the gospel of Christ is, because in verse 16 it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. What's the gospel of Christ?
Salvation, everyone that believes.
That's right. That Christ died for our sins. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, which goes back to that verse 16 in Romans 1 that we read. If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel of Christ. Then, of course, we have the gospel of the kingdom. Anybody know what that is? Jesus told him to go preach the gospel of the kingdom.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Repent and be baptized. And I do not have that verse written down. Is it Acts 2:38? Yeah. Then said Peter unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay. Now, what I want to do tonight is do a little bit of comparisons between what Jesus taught and what Paul taught. First of all, I want to draw you the timeline. I think it's important to keep that in front of us. These markers are weird. Here we got X. I wouldn't make a good school teacher. I don't even know how to. Well, there it is. Okay. Here we got Adam over here, Moses here, and then we have Matthew through John right here. Anybody know how many years it was from Adam to Moses when the law was given?
Before the
law. How many years was it before the law was given?
Like 1,500 years.
There's one that's 1,500 approximately, but it's not that one.
Was it four?
2,500 years over here. And then it's 1,500 years here, approximately. Then we have Romans through Philemon here. And then we have Hebrews through Revelation after, right here. We got a taking up happening there. And we got that there. I'm afraid that could be a little small, but I hate writing. Anyway, it works, but the camera might not. Don't know what I'm saying. That is how your Bible's laid out. And you're really not in here. You're not in here. You're not in here, but you're kind of right there today. So turn to Genesis 12. Remember, Tony, today I said something about the blessing, the promise that was given to Israel?
Right.
Turn to Genesis chapter 12. Way back here, God gave a promise. And then I want to show you a little bit how that promise worked. A lot of people get the idea when they're Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can you hit the record button on there? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they think somehow they're in that. Yeah, there's a little record button. He said that should take care of it. But anyway, they think they're in that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I'm going to prove to them they're not. Genesis 12, verse 1. And the Lord hath said unto, and the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3 is the important one. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So how many of you tonight has blessed a Jew? You even know a Jew? I know one. Lives in Russellville, but...
There's one in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's true, too. The one in Russellville is... Turn to Matthew chapter 10.
That's referring to Jew here.
That's the promise to the Jewish nation. Yes, right. To the Jewish nation. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. Okay.
Going
to Matthew 10. I'm going to read to you what Jesus gave his commandment to his disciples. And you're going to find out that you're not included in this one. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. pretty clear. Jesus said, do not go to the Gentiles. Okay? And people say, get the idea to say, oh, you know, if I'd have been here when Jesus was here, he'd have done this and I'd have done that. You know, we'd have had conversations. No, he wouldn't have. Go to Matthew 15, I believe it is. Yeah, Matthew 15. Matter of fact, if you'd have been there, Jesus wouldn't even as much as paid attention to you. Calls us dogs. Then Jesus went thence, verse 21, and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Look what Jesus' response was. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very, very hour. In verse 26, or verse 27, what did she tell Jesus there? She informed him that she had blessed a Jew. Who was her master? Her master was a Jew. So what was the promise God gave way back in Genesis? I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. That was her reason that he even talked to her. He called her a dog. He called you and I a dog. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 23. This is also who Jesus. And Jesus went into all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Who gathered at the synagogues? The Jews did. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Verse 17. And this is what Jesus preached. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's bump over to Paul. Put that in the back of your mind what Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Keep that in mind as to what, and also what, Peter also did that in Acts 2, I believe it is. Is it Acts 2? Where he said, repent and be baptized. That's also in Mark 2:38, I believe that is. I think there's also a count in Mark for that. Mark
24, maybe?
Mark 16, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I don't understand, if that's for me, why I'm so scared of snakes.
That was Mark what?
Mark 16, verse 15 to 18. And when I drink something that's got bacteria, and I tend to get a stomach ache. Okay, let's go find out about this Apostle Paul that we have record that he wrote these books right in that part of the Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Let's find out who he was. He's a pretty scary dude, actually. I guarantee you when people seen him, they were scared out of their skin about him. He had quite a name. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues. And who was in the synagogues? It was the Jews. That if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. This guy was after subpoenas and warrants is what he wanted. He wanted to go get these people. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I find it very interesting. His response was, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Turn to Acts 26. So this guy here was a persecutor of people in the synagogues against the disciples of the Lord. Acts 26, verse 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Well, that's a hard one for my tongue. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Notice in verse 17, deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. He's being sent to the Gentiles. And those Gentiles are the cursing Gentiles, because the blessing Gentiles had salvation and the cursing Gentiles didn't. Now, go to Romans 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. This is Paul speaking. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Very, very, very key words. My gospel. He doesn't say our gospel. He doesn't say our. Did I just say our? Yeah. He doesn't say anything that included anybody else. And the great cool thing about it is, which was kept secret, how long? So, if we go back, Paul's here after Acts 9. If we go way back here, is it here? Is it here? Or even here? No, it was kept secret. People want to confuse and try and bring it here. And it's not there. Or, if it is, God lied. Which I'm going to go with the fact that God didn't lie. But now, verse 26, is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Okay, turn to 1 Timothy, chapter 1. First Timothy 1, verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I, very personal, very possessive, obtain mercy, that in me, second, third, and fourth, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. That in me, first. When something is first, that's not second. That means nobody else had it. You can't be first if you're second, and you can't be second if you're first. Okay? For a pattern. Okay? When you have a Rhoda making a wedding dress or anything like that, she tends to go by a pattern. Paul is our pattern. to them which should hereafter. Okay? Hereafter means from this point forward. You can't go back on a hereafter. Hereafter is from a certain given time forward. Hereafter, believe on him to life everlasting. Eternal security. Okay. Philippians 3. Let's see what Paul says about what we're to do about him. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, if I'm going too fast, just holler out. Because I tend to just get on a roll and I rattle too fast. I'm almost not near as good as Zane, but he's...
Philippians
chapter 3. We're going to have to put a brake mechanism up here when Zane comes in 2 weeks. Keep him slow. Philippians 3, verse 17, he says, brethren, be followers together of Peter and Paul and the apostles, and mark them which walk as ye should have us for an example. No, he said, be followers together of me. Very, very personal and possessive. 1 Corinthians 11. We get called Paulites and whatever. But you know what? I'll go with what the Word of God says over what somebody else says. And he said to be followers of him. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Okay, people will say, well then, oh, he preached what Christ preached. Well, how does that work if it was kept secret before? Or how does that work that in me first, or to follow me as a pattern? It can't be the same, and it's not. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6. Here's a very, very contrasting, very clear verses as to what's what. But of these, who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat, in conference, added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the uncircumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they to the circumcision. Who were the circumcision? The circumcisions were the Jews. The heathen are the Gentiles, the dogs. You can't have circumcision and uncircumcision at the same thing. So very, very clearly, what was taught here is not what's taught here. Okay. That was Galatians. Now, let's go and see what the gospel is. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Do you remember way back when I said to keep in mind what Jesus taught? He said to repent. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, remember it's another first, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Remember, Jesus and them said, repent and be baptized. Peter says Christ died for our sins. Or Paul. Paul says that Christ died for our sins. So if he died for our sins, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If he died for our sins, how many do we have? None. 2 Corinthians 5, go to verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If Christ became sin for us, and in that happening, when you trust that and believe that, God gives you his righteousness, why would sin even matter? Look at what verse 16 says. When people look at this old thing standing up here, he's pretty ugly. And I really feel bad that people actually get hung up when they see me and they get hung up on me. Because I'm pretty messed up. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Very, very important. People tend to go back here, but this verse clearly says we don't know Christ back here in the flesh. You look at me, you can't tell if I'm saved by looking at me. There's only one person that knows it, actually, me and God. Truly, honestly know that I'm saved. I can tell you all day long. You don't know. I'm not going to trade with any of you either. Trust me. I'm not going to. Because I know what I have. Don't look at me in the flesh. My flesh is ugly. Paul says that what I would that I do not. That's me. And unfortunately, my old ugly old self gets in the way. And you do stupid stuff. And yes, people flip out and trip out. But you know what? Unfortunately, that's what we are. Okay. That was... Where am I at? Go to 1 Corinthians 2. I don't think we were there yet. I kind of got off track while I was going. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. The only way that I'm perfect is that I'm perfect in Christ. What really blows, when you really stop and think of it and try and wrap your human mind around the fact that I'm as righteous as God, that's pretty astounding. And let me tell you something, the religious people, that tears them up, because then they think you're proud and you're crazy because you're, oh, you think you're God. He gave it to me.
But it ain't your righteousness.
Exactly. It's not mine. It's absolutely right. But he gave his to me. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Here we go again, way back here. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Did they know back when they killed Christ what they did? Nope. It says if they would have, they wouldn't have crucified him. So Christ, the gospel we have here is not the same as right there. Go to, we already did that. Let's go to Romans 6, verse 23. I want to bring this in. Go back to 2 Corinthians 5 again with this one. And also to Romans 6, verse 23. No, that's Romans. Okay, any wonder. Wrong chapter. Okay, in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Okay, let's read Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Does anybody want to venture to tell me what happened to Christ when he became sin for us?
Mm-hmm.
He did. And he left all that ugliness there when he rose the third day. But the gift of God, his righteousness, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There again, eternal security. Okay. Now, a question. Remember we were talking about Paul. Let's go to Matthew 12. Verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Okay. Keep that verse ringing in your mind. Let me make sure I got the right one here. Yeah, turn to Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 38 says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that though this man, through this man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. From all which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 12. What did it say? There was one thing that couldn't be forgiven. Okay, so there's a big difference here. Here it tells me all things, and here it says there is one that you can't. Okay, now, I may need help to pull this one out. I know I have it written down somewhere, but where does it tell me that Paul was a blasphemer?
Acts 7.
Is that Acts 7?
Acts 7, 57. And Acts 8, 1. It's, you know, right in there. In the 7, verse 8. It's
okay, this is the example where Paul was watching and gave his go-ahead to have a man killed who was filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 7, verse 57, and then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
Verse 55 is one where it says he was, you know, Stephen.
Right, that's right. Verse 55 says, but he, talking about Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Paul gave his okay, kill him. And Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now the verse that I'm looking for, I think, is in Timothy. I'm going to have a quick look. 1 Timothy 1, 11, I believe it is. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. You know, people might say, you know, how can you prove it's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? I don't know, but I do know. Yeah, it's verse 13. Let's start at verse 11. This is what the Bible says. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Okay, does Paul say he's a blasphemer? It does. Be as it may, you might want to try and prove that it wasn't blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. I believe it was, because he makes it very important. He makes it... He deemed it necessary to say I was a blasphemer. And I take that. You can do what the, you can try and explain that away. He blasphemed something else, but I think he blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And under Peter, we read back in Matthew, you couldn't be saved in there. So another big click of a difference. Okay, turn to now. Let's go see what for a wonderful good people we are.
So blasphemy actually is if you just don't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Well, there's nothing you
can't be saved.
Right now, there is no blasphemy.
Right now.
No, but back
but
then
the
it was.
The only way that you're going to lose your salvation is not to accept or believe.
Right. The only way your sins are all forgiven. Yeah. The only reason you go to hell, if you do go to hell, is because you don't trust and believe that Christ died for your sins.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what else you do.
Right.
You know, like we read, we don't know us after the flesh. You know, but that was an issue back in this era of time.
So,
very
so
clearly.
Like a person, I'm going to say an atheist, and he speaks about unbelief of God.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, then his sins are not forgiven because he's not accepting the offer.
They are himself. Forgiven. His sins are forgiven. Everyone's sins have been forgiven. What's sending him, the unfortunate thing is there could be atheists in heaven because at one point in time they may have trusted Christ as their Savior and turned atheist later. But they're really not an atheist. They're just flat out a fool. That's what the Bible says. They're fools.
Yeah, I think there's a difference too in blasphemy and unbelief. And the words aren't coming to me how to explain it exactly. Mm-hmm. There is a difference, but you're actually hell bound.
Well, back in this time when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they didn't have anybody need to teach them because the Holy Ghost told them what to do and what to say.
Right.
Well, when they went against what the Holy Ghost told them in this time, that was blasphemy.
Okay.
You take Ananias and Sapphira, they were gone.
Right.
Because they rejected what the Holy Spirit told them. Am I right on that? Is that the way?
Yeah.
If you look up blasphemy,
I'm trying to put a thought together. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
In the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and I know this is not the Bible.
Right, so it's good, yeah.
But in the dictionary, it is to speak of or address with good reverence. Let's see here. Be to revile or abuse. So basically, anything like in Acts 7 there, end of Acts 7, he was, basically anything you do against something would be blasphemy.
Right.
So that's why. And
that's what he did against Stephen. Yeah. Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he did it against him.
So according to the dictionary, that's what we... that's not the Bible. That's
true.
The Bible.
Yeah. Okay. What back?
I didn't know if he had thought
okay, since we're such wonderful people, let's find out who needs saving. Wonderful people, wonderful, wonderful good people. Turn to Romans chapter 3. You ever met somebody who thinks you're kind of something somebody's? Yeah. They think that they've been missionaries and they've been... Yeah. Well, I'm going to blow their bubble. Romans 3, verse 9. No, actually, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let the Word of God do it. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. And this makes it very, very present day. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Pretty clear. I like how Brian Seitz says it. He loves how it says it twice. He's saying, just for the dummies, no, not one. Correct me up. Go to Isaiah. If you know where in the Bible that's found. Isaiah chapter 64. Isn't there a verse that says something about thinketh he somewhat?
Isaiah
64. I'm thinking there's a verse that makes a comment about thinketh he somewhat. Take heed lest he fall or something.
Come thou not near me.
Yeah.
That one.
We got a lot of those kind of people. Isaiah 64 verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You know what you do with filthy rags? You put them in the washer and wash them. It doesn't quite work with us. I'm still filthy.
Did you want Isaiah
65
verse 5?
Yeah. Isaiah 65 verse 5. Which say, stand by thyself, come now, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose and fire that burneth all the day. I know a few people like that. What? I was top notch, buddy. Well, so I thought until I met the Word of God. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were actually taught you had to be good to be saved. Okay, go to Psalm 14. Even the psalmist. Yeah, don't hide. Don't tell the world that I'm an ugly man. Trust me. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool, here we go, there's no atheists, they're fools, has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And guess what he says? They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And Jeremiah will tell you what your heart is. I love how people say you got to ask Jesus into your heart. Oh, poor thing. Don't want to get in that filthy thing. Jeremiah 17. If I can find Jeremiah. Where is Jeremiah? Okay. Oh, there you go. One of the requirements when I went to Bible school was I had to be able to do all the books of the Bible by memory. Yep, and I had learned that in first grade. Okay, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Desperately wicked. Ecclesiastes. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
Solomon knew that back then.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Turn to Romans chapter 7. I make you wear out the book, man. Romans chapter 7. I used to sit and listen to messages that they turned to one verse and then preach philosophy from there out. I love going through the book of the Bible because it all flows perfectly. Romans 7 verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Anybody need convincing that they ain't no good?
No, I don't really.
Now, the good news is, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Sometime I'd love to do a study on the word but in the Bible. Or but now, but God. Look at verse 4. Or let's read it verse. Let's just start at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in it? You there yet, Tony?
No. Chapter 2.
Yep, Ephesians chapter 2. I'll wait till you're there. We got massage therapy coming up. We'll put your hands in hot water.
Ephesians 2,
verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. just a sideline thought, who's in the prince of the power of the air? That's who's in control. Interesting. Yeah, the God of this world. It's interesting how people think they blame everything on God. Oh, he, you know, had storms come over and trying to wake up them people down in New Orleans from Katrina because them gays down there.
Bunch they also of, blame God when they get a lot of money.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I'm very amazed how God gets blamed for good and evil. Boy, God's blessing me, and yeah, granted, he said he takes care of us. He does. But a lot of that has to do with smart business, usually. Or you get lucky and you open somebody's will and there's a whole bunch of money there for you. It's nice, too. Knowing the right numbers, right?
At least with Wonder World, money's
moving. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Doesn't look like we need to do any kind of repenting, any kind of baptizing, any kind of altar walking. It's just a simple, simple thing of trusting that Christ died for my sins, like we read back in 1 Corinthians 15. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. You know, when Barry used to do this, he'd start way back here and work his way through the Bible, and I'd just sit there, come on, come on, come on, let's get back to Ephesians and Galatians. I just love these two books. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. You know, for years and years and years, I believed in Jesus Christ. I did. I believed he was born. I believed he died for me. I believed he was raised. But I never trusted in the faith of Christ. Let's start over. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, when you stop and look, that righteousness is not by works. The sad, sad, sad reality of how many people preach over these kind of things right here every Sunday in church, to be good works people, and that your salvation rests on that. I've had people tell me, well, we do this and this just in case. Really? In case what? In case the Word of God ain't right? I mean, seriously. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 22. This is one of the benefits of salvation. Who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I like to think of, I don't know, Tony, if you do it at the store or not, if you ever heat seal. When you think about that thing's sealed, and what does it take? It takes a knife to cut that seal. I'm going here to tell you something. There ain't nothing strong enough to cut the Holy Spirit's seal. And if you think that in your ugly little flesh you can cut that seal, what do you think you are? I mean, just stop. Yeah, you're people who think they can lose what Christ gave after your seal. Turn to Ephesians 4. I mean, sealed means sealed. It's just, and earnest money. We all know what earnest money is. It's a guarantee. Turn to Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. How long? Until you mess up and screw up in the flesh? I don't think so. Until the day of redemption. Pretty much out of my control, I would say. I like Chafin's way of saying it. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1.
It's a good thing right there because if I didn't have that, I'd be screwed.
Yeah, no kidding. Wouldn't we all?
What did you say here?
Ephesians chapter 1. Looking, it says, in whom ye also trusted. When I had littered, I was standing about right exactly where I'm standing right now when I got saved. I got up one morning, and it was, the 20th, I guess. 20th, 21st, I don't really know. But I do know this is right here. My chair was here. I looked out that window, and I was thinking about the Bible study we had the night before. And, you know, every night when I went to bed, I would always pray and plead with God that, oh, man, if I messed up, you know, please. You know, wipe my slate clean. And if you, if there's any man in here who's going to deny this, you're just a friggin' liar. What's the Bible say? You look upon a woman to lust after? That was the biggest briar in my brain because I knew ain't no way I can get that one done. Okay? And if any man, I don't care who the man is, if it's the Pope, he's lying. Men are men. Okay? When I walked out here and I looked out that window and it all once hit me like a rock, it don't matter. When Christ died, he died for that too. And I tell you, I got so excited, I went back into the room. Rhoda was still back there. She don't remember me coming back in. I was just gibbering, I guess. I don't know. I was so excited. But in whom ye also trusted. I believed for years and years and years in Christ. I believed him. I never trusted him. I always thought there was something within me that I had to do. Now, let's look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. When? After that ye heard the word of truth. I heard the word of truth proclaimed the night before. The gospel of your salvation. And what is that? 1 Corinthians 15. That Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Let me give you a little demonstration or a little story. Y'all remember when that tightrope walker was stupid enough to walk across Niagara Falls here about a year ago? He made it. He did. He made it. A lot of people believed he could do it, didn't they? Okay. So let's say he'd have walked across and then he'd have grabbed the wheelbarrow and he'd have asked people. He said, you think I could push this wheelbarrow across this thing? Oh, yeah, sure you could. Well, how about you get in the wheelbarrow? How many naysayers do you think there would have been? How many people would have run the other way? I ain't getting in that thing, no way. What, did they believe him? Trust. We'd be laying in that wheelbarrow, fall asleep, wake me up when we get to the other side. That's trust. When I trusted that Christ died for my sin is when I got saved. And I tell you what, that was a very relaxed, peaceful feeling. Turn to Romans 8. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now I can promise you, if you would go say there is lots of condemnation when you walk after the flesh. For years and years and years, I was fleshly, if that's a word, trying to save myself. Did it ever bring peace? 5 minutes at the most. Because sin is sin. Deal with it. You know, think about it. If you think that a separation can happen, I was trying to save myself by my flesh. When I allowed the Spirit to save me, it's over. The peace that I tell you what, that was just the most. And you know what? I can go to bed right now and sleep, and I don't have a guilt in my conscience. Do I do stupid stuff? Yeah, I do. But knowing that Christ died for me, do I change some things I do? Yeah. Why? Because I'm selfish. I want a good marriage. I want people around me to like me. And if I'm dumb and stupid and stuff, that can affect that. So, of course, I'm going to try to do good work. But it had nothing to do with my salvation. I do it because I want a good life. But I think I have one more verse or so. No, that was it. All done. Another good way I heard, I think Stan Coots said it about as good as I ever remember anybody saying how, I think it was him. We all know Stan Coots, some of us do anyway. Was it him that uses the rope idea? Hang it on the edge, on the rope, and below was hell.
And,
yeah, picture yourself hanging over a cliff, and down at the bottom is the rocks, pits of hell. And your fingers are slowly sliding down the rope of life, and there's no knot at the end that's going to catch you. Let go. Christ is there to save you. Well, thanks for being here.